sure that.
Continuation of the process.
So we are in session. We started in open session and we've gone into closed session. I'm Bill Strom. I am a council member in Chapel Hill. I facilitated the council's work over the last couple of years and as the committee chair. And I'd just like to welcome everybody to the town hall. And we are incredibly appreciative of everybody's work and focus on this project. And I'm anticipating a productive and engaged session. And I know that everybody wants to, as Susan said, get a shovel in the ground. And I hope that we make progress post haste here. So,
Mr. Eric, I may I'd like to introduce Martha Donner. I don't know that y'all have Martha previously. Martha is a member of the clerk staff and will be creating the records that we are required to keep at these meetings. She'll be doing that in two different forms. One is a digital recording, which can be made available for reference, and the other is summary minutes that we ultimately will print and make a part of the town's record. Those minutes will not be a part of the open record until such time as the reason that justifies holding this session as a closed session no longer exists. But at some point, it will become a public record, and I wanted you to know that. Yesterday, I used the word chicken shit. and Martha didn't write that down. But I shouldn't have used that. It was, it was explanatory for concept at the time.
What about it?
Very clear. We will be judicious in how we do this, but there is this digital record as well, and I didn't want any of you to be caught unawares.
No swearing.
Why are you wearing me? You're sitting on the right side of the table, aren't you?
That's the next
account. Perhaps it would be useful just to go around the table and have everybody introduce themselves briefly. I will say that Council Member Sally Green is a member of the town's negotiating committee. She's in Texas with her mom, who said, a car accident and some surgery. She'll be back in town. Everything's going to be fine, but she sends her regrets and will be at the next gathering of this group.
I'm Ken Hill and I'm on council.
I'm Dylan Sutherland. I'm with the planning office.
And I'm Craig Burke and we'll be the special project assistant.
Ralph Carpenter's town attorney.
Glenn Hardy, I'm outside council, Senator Trump.
I'm Cal Horton, town manager.
Greg Kaiser with Shelbury, Hickok, and Woods.
Susan Jackson with Grand Sullivan. Martha Dunn with
I'm your managing partner for RAM.
Holly Alderman with Shelbury, Hickok, and Woods.
And John Steinbeck, managing partner of Steinbeck, Hogan, Howard, and Estate.
Great. So we have a proposed agenda. Is everyone?
Yeah, that's right.
If there are any suggested changes to the agenda, we could take a good time to entertain them. If not, we can accept the agenda, and I will turn it over to you, gentlemen.
Well, we've got about a six-part agenda today. One is to overview the final overview of negotiating process and schedule. We're going to talk about responsibilities of both the RAM team and the town team. And it's a handout that we'll share with you. And then we'll spend the rest of the day basically reviewing the MOU on a line by item basis and wrap up. I mean, it's fairly simple and straightforward.
just for the, we had a hard time coming up with a good time to break, so at some point we should take a 10-minute recess and, you know, how about we aim for around 10:30, quarter to 11, and see, I'll butt in and we can all agree on time to take a break.
Okay.
We've got an overview of the negotiation process. We have just three parts. It includes an ERN and an MOU and a development agreement. The strategy is to use the ERN, as you know, to provide you with a level of comfort that the town is negotiating with just you, which we thought was important to you. The MOU is focused on the major deal points and not focusing on the legalese and the strictly what I call legal sections of the development agreement. So the objective is to sign the MOU at the end of this month or early September, so we're on the pressures there. And that's after we receive the input from the council committee. So that's, we started this in early July. We'll probably wrap up in late August, early September. That's about 8 weeks. And then the third step is the MOU. And once the MOU deal points have been negotiated, designs refined and refined the numbers, Glenn and Rand's legal counsel will take over and focus on submitting the development agreement to the town council on October 10th. There's not much room for error here. October 10th is a key date for the town. So we have to abide by that schedule. So, any questions on that? Let's go to the schedule. Does everybody, do they have a schedule?
You all had received a draft, but yeah,
The negotiating team for the town met all day yesterday, and it was, I thought it was a very effective meeting. I ironed out a lot of major points. Today's our first negotiating session with the RAND team, of course. We're looking at what we call a mid-August, and I think we're going to focus on that today as being August 18th. Is that right, Chris?
Yes.
To review the your revised design concept. And that same day, we're going to try to get in some time for negotiations as well. So after that point, there's about 2 weeks, and what I'm suggesting is that we'd like to ideally have a RAND present a revised concept plan and a building program and a total development budget and a revised pro forma. So if you, I know that's tight, but there's not much time today. So from August 18th to the 31st, we're hoping that you can prepare based on the new plan that you present on the 18th, that you would prepare a revised building program, a total development budget, and a revised pro forma.
Well, assuming that...
Nice weather we're having.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm just assuming some of the things that we're going to talk about in working on the developer's agreement is how we make sure we build something into the development agreement. If some of the very specific things that have to get done in here slip so that it's taken care of so that we can still meet the development agreement timeline here, but it's still good about where we're at, right?
Sure. There's flexibility here, I think. But I think not flexible with the October 10th deadline.
Right.
Is that right, Cal?
The October 10th deadline is important because this council is the council that initiated this work and has driven this project and has kept it basically on schedule now for 2 years. And in order for it to finish with this council, we need to have the development agreement executed by mid to late October, thus the October 10th date. If this council is not able to complete the work, there's the possibility that the next council very rightly could say, we'd like to have an opportunity to become more familiar with this. We'd like some time to review the ideas, and the process could slumber for a while. That's not in anybody's interest.
Right.
It's been careful and deliberate, well publicized, a lot of public involvement. There's no reason why we shouldn't proceed to wrap it up.
Okay.
So when you talk about this final budget, we could extend that past that
already state. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's the final budget. The next round of budget. I mean, do the best you can to, I'm assuming you're...
So that's not final budget.
That's right.
Basically, as long as...
We're going to keep honing in on the refining the numbers over the period of, from now until...
Well, we'll be refining the numbers until we pick a couple of
them. Exactly.
Right. Well, and then thereafter, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm saying, John, we need the best estimate we can produce at that time.
We just need to make sure we can negotiate the developer's agreement in a way that makes sense for everybody.
That's right. Exactly. That you're not...
Even though the plan and the budget will continue to get tweaked over the next... through the process.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
But the basis was that you were going to have a new design on the 18th, and I was playing off of that date. If you could week or two to generous around new around the numbers. That was the concept.
Okay, because we are, our plans are to come in with the design elements that we talked about for the facade and the elevation. We're working through some of the issues to see what we can do in terms of tweaking some of the things we talked about in the plan. And I don't know what we can be finished with based on our due diligence. And also, we've got something that we've been playing around with for Lawless Deck that we think we'll be able to show you on the 18th. But some of that will be somewhat fluid.
Right, but John's point, and we talked about this a lot yesterday, is that until there's a consensus about what Wallace and Five are going to be, the numbers are remarkably good.
Yes, absolutely.
And so the pressure is on for us to get to a plan and then associated numbers in a timely fashion. And October 10th is a tough deadline. So that's why John was suggesting that, between the second... between a council work session or review session,
right,
and that next meeting, there's been a lot of number work has to occur.
Sure, but what we want to do, I think what we're saying, we're all saying the same thing. We understand the pressure is on to get it done, but what we're saying is the developer agreement, we're assuming the developer agreement will be worked out satisfactorily so that there still can get changes that get made to the plan and the numbers to satisfy all of us. So I think we're all saying the same thing, that we need to meet that deadline and also give us all enough flexibility so that we don't have to make design and budget decisions that we all regret we had to live with.
Right. But we need to know that
the general plan
is
accepted. Right. Okay.
And everybody's clear that the two are tied at the hip, Wall Street and Block 5.
Right.
Unless they come up with some magical amount of money. That's why
we're working on that too.
All right, great.
Well, I just want to make sure I'm not setting my expectation level. I want to make sure I'm understanding. So I was pretty first we're going to take another pass at the budget, but understanding that between August 17th and August 31st, capital will be in vacation, so that number is not going to be a big number. It's going to be an estimate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, to reflect the design that was presented on the 18th.
Reflect our best guesses to what that design will cost without being able to put it out to bid.
But you will present another round of design work on Wallace Deck on the 18th?
Yes, we will.
Okay, that's important.
This half of the world will not be on the case.
Well, it's because we're all going to lie.
So the executive ideally is on September 1st is what we've got tentatively scheduled. The council committee would review the MOU is where we are at that point, and actually maybe even sign it. Is that?
Well, I have a question. There really isn't much negotiating time between now. The way the schedule reads, I mean, we have today, we're going to talk through the MOU, but we just got it, obviously. And then we're talking about design, a big design session on the 18th, and then having the MOU sort of done by the end of August. So there's really not, there's not a lot of time, or we're not going to, there's really not a lot of time scheduled for us to really have any substantive discussions on the MOU other than today, and partly on the 18th. Did I get that right?
Well, I'm getting head shaking no. I thought we had an MOU was to be signed around.
Well, it's possible, but it obviously has to be agreed upon before the time.
Sure.
Right, so.
But if you don't do it by the end of August, the 1st of September, you only got 4 weeks to get the development agreement.
There is a 30 day extension on the 31st, which is the same as the 1st. Yeah,
Are there, will there be negotiating back and forth like we normally do our deals, you know, attorney to attorney in between?
I'm available anytime.
No.
So that we could be literally replying on like we normally do by email.
Sure.
No, that doesn't work.
Okay.
So it's not that we're just negotiating it sitting in this room.
Right.
Okay.
Lynn understands our interests, and one of the reasons we engaged him was because he's adept and quite familiar with these kinds of transactions, and I think Holly would be a good colleague for him to work with in that regard.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm worried about, because there will be business issues for sure that we need to negotiate through.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally have the 18th to do some of those business issues together. If there are business issues between now and then, based upon what comes up today, do we keep going and then he just touches base with you guys? Is that how that works?
I think it'll depend on the nature of the issue. We may have to have another face-to-face session in order to make it work.
All right, we'll get to that a little bit.
What we have outlined is an outline, and its purpose is to give us a sense of how little time and how much work must be done, and what some key milestones are. But I think the committee is prepared to meet more often if necessary to make this work, and certainly the staff is. And Lynn's schedule is not completely under our control. Obviously, he has obligations to others, but we will try to make this work. That's the objective. And we're not ready to have arbitrary
stuff. Okay, that's why I'm asking, because I feel like there's not enough time in here, so I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page that getting this done.
We're very clear that it's tight.
Okay.
And you're right, there's not enough time, but we're going to do it anyway.
And to compound that problem, in order to meet the October 10th meeting, you've got to have the agenda material going to be distributed in October 5th. And in order for the town to review those documents in advance of that, you have to bring it to on September 30th.
Right. So we literally have 60 days to be done.
Yeah.
Memorandum of understanding first, so that it's easier to get through the legal documents.
Yes, right. That's the concept.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing the memorandum of understanding will take the most time. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
The 18th, we imagine having a council session at 5:30 or in the evening. We're trying to 5:30, but that would give us the entire day on the 18th.
Right.
So 5:30 would be the design presentation first.
Right. Well,
it would be the evening. 8:30 presentation.
The committee will be here. We should go through the design elements then, but also have the day for talking about the MOU.
Right. And the town council at 5:30.
In that fashion, the committee can let you know about my mind, some give you advice on presentation, that sort of thing, and give you some media reaction that you can take into account before you make your presentation against.
Right.
Cool.
Okay.
Good. Well, we can't make decisions for the council, but we can guide.
Great. Okay.
On top of all the negotiating issues, we've got to refine the numbers and solve some financial shortfalls and that sort of thing, if there are any. So I'll be working with you on your numbers
So you'll be working with us, like in the meantime, before the 18th.
Right.
Okay.
All right. On to the next part. Proposed responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
21 tasks to be done sometime as soon as possible. And I've been organized into two groups, RAM development team and then the town team. To start off with yours, and number one is, can you give us an update on what's going on with RPC, if anything?
They're ready to move forward. Basically, at this point, they need an LOI that states what the terms would be for them.
I'm terrible in acronyms. Every time you use them, I won't hear the next sentence you say because I'll be processing it by myself.
Sorry, my mother used to talk about that when I went to school, and there was. You know, the colleges were SMG, and, you know, it's just like,
small motors.
Right.
That's what will happen. I'll start thinking about it.
Royal Bank of
Canada.
They are interested in moving forward. I spoke to the real estate rep who's represented by a broker. The real estate rep has said that this is a concept, the concept of leasing or doing something in Lot 5 and selling their building is something that they have run internally through their committees and something that they're open to pursuing. They just sort of waiting on us. I talked to the broker, they outsource all of their real estate. And I talked to the broker,
C.B.
Richardella, Joel Walker. And the next step, based upon where John was with them, is they really need to see some type of letter of intent to understand what the economics, what the timing would be, both on taking space in Lot 5 and selling their property. I clarified that they would be willing to lease as opposed to own. As long as they have a long-term lease, they're okay with that. We talked about the idea of drive-throughs, and there's flexibility in what they will do with the drive-throughs, which is good. And that's really the next step. So I'm not really sure, you know, what our next step is in terms of creating an LOI, because I know what I can propose to do in Lot 5, but I clearly couldn't make a decision for what you're willing to buy their space for. How do we do that? That's really my question for you.
In the last 5, we've configured it has room for them, but without them seeing it, they haven't seen it, but we've assumed where, based on our experience with bank, retail tenants and bank, where they're going to want to be. We have provided for a drive-through facility. Not only do we need to know where you guys are with how much their building is worth, but how amenable are you to a drive-through off of Franklin? Because that's what they want. Obviously, that's where they want to be. So this is going to be contingent not just on selling their dirt, but on your willingness to have a curb cut for a drive-through in Franklin.
Have they ever given you a building program that they want for Lot 5?
They do have
how much square footage
they need, and
they
have about 3,500 square thousand that they want. They clearly want to see a proposal.
But we haven't shown them anything to show
that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the proposal, basically what happens is it triggers them really looking at every aspect of the deal. Before that, it's just, you know, it's concept.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ready for something that's more specific.
And the other thing that was with the curb cut for them is obviously going to be signage and your restrictions on Franklin Street in terms of retail signage.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be important to them.
A couple of immediate reactions. One is on signage. The sign ordinance has worked very effectively in Chapel Hill, and I just don't imagine that we'd end up recommending that you change the ordinance in order to accommodate this thing. In regard to drive-through, Franklin Street is a state road, and so we have the complication of working with the state. And second, the council has, at least in the past, frowned on drive-throughs, and particularly in the downtown. So it would be a policy shift to some extent for you. Although you've entertained the possibility to grab through this particular project. Now, the spacing would not be great. It would probably be workable from a traffic engineering standpoint, but it would not be great. It would need to be one that went all the way through the block and exited on the other side, so there'd be an exit point pretty near where y'all originally proposed your exit point anyway, I would think. And you'd have spacing problem over there as well, probably worse than you already had.
Yeah, there wouldn't be anything except for having a right turn off of Franklin Street.
Right.
The drive-through wouldn't be on Franklin. It would obviously be on the property.
Right.
And that may cause some issues anyway. We've already designed the project somewhat that way, and that probably would be that big of a tweak.
Yeah.
It would be, if it's helpful, the same curb cut for entering the garage would be the same mm-hmm. curb cut for the drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a second curb cut.
Right.
Not having a drive-through for them is a non-starter. They have one now, and they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the council has anticipated that question as part of this development all along.
I think Cal's accurate that the council has left the door open for discussing a drive-through in that location. I'm sitting here trying to remember the overall phase two financial model.
That's what I'm going to raise.
And I didn't. I mean, I think the bigger stumbling block might be the town buying the Centura site outright. So
there's another way to do that, which I'll have talked about, and that is the council reserved the right to award you the second phase as well, if you want to do it. And so one of the possibilities would be that we begin to plot out how you might carry off that project. And it would need your input as to what the value of that property is and what sort of investment you think would be worthwhile and how it would fit in with developing a parking lot too, that sort of thing. And I realize that has an entirely new dimension, Abby.
Right.
But I think we need your entrepreneurial spirit in looking at that to see if you can figure out a way that would work for you, that would be financially feasible for the town, and that would be secure enough from a business proposition standpoint so that RBC would be willing to take a look at.
So we would look at it as a development, we would really look at it as I would normally look at it, where, hey, RBC, let's buy your site, we'll put you in our project.
It does more than that. If you were to do that and build a garage on RBC site, you could put all of the parking for Lot 2 and Lot 5 on that site and solve the replacement parking issue in one fell swoop. And then you go forward on walls deck 2 and 5 all concurrently.
Well, you couldn't really solve the parking issue because you need to move the bank over first,
right,
and that wouldn't happen until Lot 5.
I'm assuming an intermodal.
Sequencing is a challenge.
An intermodal space for them. That would be the only.
So that would be a question for them.
Yeah.
It would make the economics for the town as well as for land much more attractive if the parking can be affordably addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that you serve
from 26 on Lot 5 and mm-hmm. Dunlane. Right. I'm sorry, that's Wallace.
Right.
So
there's some definite economic benefit to all of us.
Right. There's a higher level of investment from the town's point of view to find parking spaces at the Centura site as well, which has been driving a lot of our thinking through the process as well.
But I would guess that the cost of dynamiting would buy a whole lot of dirt.
Mm-hmm. What's your expertise?
What do you mean by the cost of dynamiting?
If we could do them all concurrently, I'm guessing there's a way to provide more affordable parking
mm-hmm.
than having to go down as far as we have to go down to meet the parking requirements for
yes.
the last five
yes.
because it's being treated as a standalone project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, but in terms of saving and everything, it may not. So let's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to really look at that whole thing.
Sure.
Okay, so So assuming we sort of figure out the next step and determine, you know, we figure out what the price is and economically from a developer standpoint, do we then come to you and run that by you? Because potentially we're really in the middle of your next phase.
I think we want you to get into the middle of our next phase. The council has confidence in you, or you wouldn't be at the table. And my assumption is these conversations are going to go well, be productive, and in the end, you're going to attain goals that are important to RAM, and we're going to attain goals that are important to the community. And it would be to everybody's potential advantage to work through all of this. And we need to be involved in that process with you.
Okay.
So we can give you feedback, so we can react to ideas that will be generated from your discussions, and so we can test the feasibility of it.
Okay, so while we're looking at feasibility, I'm assuming, considering the deadline.
Yeah, we just say, whoo, this is small.
I mean, would the goal be,
this is Carolina and have corporate.
We actually rented one of our own apartments. Would the goal then be, if that makes sense, and I know that's a big ask, obviously we need to absorb that whole concept. The goal would be to figure that all out now and get that as part of this developer's agreement?
At least to the level of certainty necessary for you to be comfortable, for us to be comfortable, and RBC to be comfortable in knowing how to proceed.
Okay.
And that would mean that, well, you know better than I do what that would mean.
Okay.
You know, we understand what it takes for us to be comfortable. We're not sure what it takes for you to be comfortable.
Okay.
We'll learn that as we go along.
Okay. All right.
See, we, Springwood initially recommended that to go with the one fell swoop of doing all the projects at one time, but it required the city to be at risk of building a garage, and not knowing whether a developer would commit to develop lot 5 or lot 2. The city be left with a garage of 350 spaces and not a no need for it, because it's still got lot 5 and lot 2 serving as a sort of a parking lot.
So assuming lot 5 or Wallace Tech didn't have them, then you'd be stuck with another parking garage.
Well, we couldn't recommend for them to take that chance, that risk, so we had to stop the most simplistic solution.
Mm-hmm.
It was the favorite solution, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to insist on that because of the risk.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So now that you're in place, we got to look like RBC may cooperate. We could go forward with the most effective, simple plan.
Okay. You're honestly too. Okay.
But I guess now that I think about it, it does hinge on whether RBC can live with an interim office space, interim operations. And of course, there's empty space on Franklin Street. First thing that comes to my mind, right at the 100% corner.
There's a lease limitation on that building. The former tenant, the bank, has the right to keep other banks out of that space.
Is it deed-restricted, do you know?
It's lease-restricted.
Lease-restricted. It's Wachovia, isn't it?
Pardon?
On the corner? Was it Wachovia?
Yes.
They have the ATM there.
I think it was First Union and Wachovia bought it, that's correct.
Yeah, so on top of the hill.
Yeah, and they still pay rent. So they've got a long-term lease, and they are sewing that, and they're not going to let another bank in there, is my impression.
But they actually vacated.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a possibility that we could approach Wachovia to find out what they're actually doing with the space, and if they would entertain something on a short-term basis.
Sure.
Money
itself,
though.
Bankers
of bankers.
Okay.
So clearly there's a lot of stuff. So,
talk to me about the bus transit. That's my biggest concern about lot 2.
There's no money identified at this point. Well, there is a scheme in our finance plan to cover the cost of that, but it may require potentially going to a TIF car, and we don't want to go down that road. So.
To make that happen, we're going to have to come up with some additional money. And we haven't had a detailed conversation about that because we really haven't understood what it entails and what the trade-offs are, and we haven't had a partner to discuss the trade-offs. And so,
and the timing of the transit, is that something that you want to do right away versus 2 years from now, or?
The timing of it really is dependent upon funding.
Okay.
And it's possible that we could obtain funding through federal earmark or through our competitive grant, but that is going to be very difficult to attain. We've gone through a process to get that $17 million in grants for the new town operations center, the transit portion of it. So we've used up a lot of our green stamps.
Yeah.
Whether or not we can get $2 or $3 million more, I'd hate to speculate about that. The other possibility would be local funding, and I've said to the council, and I don't literally mean it, but I've used the term our credit card is about maxed out. We've reached a level on debt where our numbers start to look less than AAA, and we want to keep them looking AAA. There is a backup plan of having the transit transfers take place on street, and that can be done, and it can be designed in a manner so that it's comfortable and works. But at least at this point, the council is still interested in getting something under the side of the parking lot too, and that would be workable. But we don't have funding, and we may not have funding.
So we may let Tumi go ahead and build the garage, and then the transit station happens sometime thereafter, depending upon funding.
The problem with that is we put in the water on the ground floor. Here's the street level.
Oh, okay.
You either build it on the ground or not.
It's like probably 15 or 20 feet.
Yeah.
So you can be accommodated now.
Right.
I gotcha.
It would either have to be built in now or not.
We're not done.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, we're going to talk
about it. It's been a while since I left it. Yeah. Lot too. So.
Yeah. The town's very proud of the public transit system. It's a huge public investment. Downtown is where the transfers are taking place. We would like to do something to enhance the transit system. Council has not locked in that it's got to be on the bottom floor of Lot 2. And I know, speaking for myself, would be interested in different configurations and discussing it. But you know, the other point, which Cam just mentioned, is that the Wallace Deck and Lot 5 deal, we still see as standalone project.
Right.
Obviously, it'd be great to have Centura in, but we're all here because we believe it works either way.
Right. So it's what, if, well, the catalyst, the only reason that's important to talk about RBC today is because that is phase two, and if we figure out lot five and it can't include RBC, then it means figuring something else out for RBC in order to make your phase two happen in the future.
Okay.
That's true, but you can, I mean, the space that you would plug in for RBC is, it's on there already.
It's really more about worrying about your phase two.
Exactly.
As developers, doesn't matter to us. Right. Somebody's going to go on that space.
Well, to some degree, too, if you go ahead and advance it, it doesn't make RBC feel so in the catbird seat. I mean, if it looks like this is going to go ahead regardless, I mean.
Right.
And the worst thing that happens, possibly in any case, if somebody else owns a nice piece of real estate in South Hill, by buying RBC, somebody bought that in advance. But what I'm saying is if we move ahead this way and give RBC a chance to get on board, then
right.
It's less like at hand than, them being in a position to sort of drive the deal more than maybe actually true.
Right. Okay.
At some point, the final design of this, we're going to have to deal with the property.
Exactly, I agree.
And we're working through that now. We're sort of figuring out how to plan for that now so that if that does happen, then there's something there.
Okay.
I mean, the drive-through could be down in the lower level. You could go out on the ground and go through the drive-through.
We've talked about that. We've talked about whether or not you do it on the side of the building. We're playing around with a bunch of things.
Why did Rockholding not make you such things?
Because First Union, or
they're already there. So it was just consolidating.
Right.
And they had plans at the same time and now are pursuing building an office in Medline. And they were going to consolidate some of their loan operations there, I think.
Yeah.
But clearly, RBC wants to be on Franklin Street.
As long as it's a drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
The drive-thru is more important than Franklin Street.
Well, I'm going
to... See, I'm gonna,
I
heard...
The combination of
yeah, I heard remote was on there.
Yeah. It will be, they are flexible because I think I discussed that with both of you,
mm-hmm.
that they'll be open to doing remote.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to, from our standpoint, it's just design-wise what works better, but they are flexible enough that they would,
mm-hmm.
they would do it somewhere, you know, on the next level of the garage,
mm-hmm.
exactly what you said. They would be flexible with that being said.
To me, the doorway that we go through is, we need access to the garage, so there has to be a curb cut. And that curb cut can be used for multiple purposes.
Absolutely. It wouldn't really just be for us. Right. So, you know, during the design process, we'll figure out together what works best.
Well, that was number one.
Okay. Who brought the dance dresser?
Are we all... know what we're going to do now? I mean, because that's a giant step here. This could have an incredible, profound impact on the Mach 2 and RBC.
Well, essentially what happens is we immediately have to figure out, you know, on little baby steps, what the value of RBC is and see how we can economically make sense of that. And then take a look at, you know, basically a perform a budget on design and see how that works in the next step of shooting RBC. But yes, we, this is all, you know, in terms of thought process. You know,
okay.
I'll have it done by tomorrow morning.
Okay. Break that down, will
you? You're so funny. But I'm going to suggest, I'm going to look at two ways. I'm going to look at it with the transfer station in it and with the transfer station not in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Probably that's
so,
what the council has done all the way.
So you may have to find another place to put the transfer station later.
We'll take, you don't have to worry about that. We'll worry about the transfer station.
So I'm going to look at it both ways, okay?
Yeah.
But clearly the parking in Riverside makes Lot 2 a much more viable and interesting project.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole concept is to get more people closer to that 100% corner.
Right.
Yeah. Residents.
Right.
Just a quick illustration. This is the intersection of Franklin and Columbia. And this is south, that's north. Now, one way of handling the transit center that we talked about is to have these lane areas be developed as a transit transfer point.
Can you label the streets for me?
Sure. This is Franklin. This is Franklin.
Thank you.
So the buses would come across here and there'd be passenger pickup and drop off there for traffic going that direction. Come across here, same thing there, same thing there, same thing there. And you've all seen things like this in major cities where there are good transfer points, you know, on the street. And my argument in favor of this has always been it's cheap and it creates a lot of activity on the street, which is positive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it also probably discourages vagrancy and all of that other stuff that you were.
Yeah. And it, lot number two could be an asset in that regard because perhaps there we could take advantage to have a little more width for sidewalk and amenities, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And I want to reiterate that having a garage on the RBC site solves the replacement parking issue.
Mm-hmm.
274 spaces, so that's no small achievement either. Number two.
Sean.
Yeah.
When you say there's a cycling parking issue, specifically which
there's 174 on lot 5 and there's 101 or 2 on lot 2.
Of which we provided for 51 at this point. Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it would be.
Well, I'm leaving.
So 102 and
174.
So essentially, you wouldn't need 173 spaces on lot 5.
You're going to need some for marketing purposes.
No, I understand that. We still need parking there, but we're talking about your replacement parking. Because we were assuming that would all happen on lot 2.
And remember that Wallace Deck is requiring you or to lease spaces from the city, so you would solve that problem too by going to RBC.
Right.
It's all worked out. It's in a report we can give to you. I mean, we ran through all that analysis.
They have.
Yeah. Okay.
Call them as well.
Yeah, that's all part of the original RFQ. Okay.
Okay,
we'll be calling you.
Okay.
Don't worry.
All right.
Okay.
Do
you have a direct
question?
You
should
put
those in.
I think that's
all
right.
Yeah.
Did
you know?
And I'm
going to
visit on that plane.
Number 2.
I'm
going to take an hour and 20 minutes. Can you give us a sense of what we can expect on the 18th as far as presentation's concerned, real briefly, I mean.
We've been concentrating on the outside design, which is
for lot five.
We are not doing any work on the outside of the Wallace Deck at this point, since it's a work in progress. So in terms of lot five, we expect to bring you some design of snapshots of what we're working towards in terms of design to get a sense of whether or not this meets what you're looking for. We're playing around with fixing some of the issues that we talked about. But that, again, as I stated previously, we're working on some due diligence items. We don't want to bring something to you that's not feasible. So, well, this is a great idea, but then it doesn't work. So we're working hard towards at least being able to show you something on the 18th. I don't know if we'll be finished with what we need to get done in order to know that that's feasible in terms of, how the utility lines go, how the costs work, all of that stuff in conjunction with all the lead stuff that we have to be looking at. So, but that's what we're trying to do for lot 5. For Wallace Deck, we expect to have a modified plan based upon our discussion that brings Live Work Walk down to the street. We're still trying to get some feedback whether or not, that works. We have to push the envelope, I think, by about 6 feet. So that's good news. It's not, 20 feet. So we're working to that, but we expect to have some kind of site plan for you to see.
We have a section that's been taken by the engineer, town engineer, through with Rosemary. If that gave any assistance to you.
That would be great. So that's still looking for that.
Okay.
So, on the 18th, we are interested in providing hand-drawn, rendered bird's eye view perspectives of lot 5.
Street level.
Perspectives of lot 5 in 2 or 3 artistic genres to show you. This one has a little more this one has a little more that, this one has a combination, before we proceed to go further with that. Okay? And that's why I was in Charlotte last week. We were all there for 2 days, wandering and absorbing and looking at relationships of public space to more modern architecture. And as I said, for Wallace Deck, we have the same concept with 2 different variations so that we can look at which one feels more appealing in terms of open space and location of the new building at Henderson and Rosemary. But those are just site plans and building programs. We're not prepared to do any elevations or any perspectives.
And we're still working through some of the due diligence with the structural engineers and all of that stuff. So we'll all check.
One thing to point out about the corner of Rosemary and Henderson, just as a reminder, is that corner is in the historic district and is subject to the regulations of the historic district. which means that the Historic District Commission will have to be involved in review of concept plan and in review and approval of final facades.
Okay, and that's correct for our corner also? I mean, we know for the post office, and we've already met with them?
Your corner also.
Okay.
And it, at least as to that corner, that small area behind the post office building, they will have to make a finding that your designs are congruous with the rest of the district.
So, okay, so that brings a very important question. Is your specific design different from what we're talking about on Lot 5 that needs to happen?
No, it's not a lot.
So I'm saying, is there something different that needs to be anticipated from the historic district's perspective?
You have to anticipate that it has to be congruous with the rest of the development in the historic district.
Okay, so congruous maybe isn't as forward thinking as we're thinking on Lot 5, kind of thing?
That would be my guess.
Okay. All right.
The simplest thing to get through the historic district is something that looks like everything else in the historic district.
Okay. Similar to what we did already. Okay. Well, we're going to concentrate on the footprint and the feasibility of the new design since it's not something that we like anyway.
Right.
And you're going to worry about the elevation.
Precisely.
Okay, perfect.
So not to mess with your, because you've been recorded, with your timetable here this morning in 2 minutes. We heard what you liked about the live work space of the other presentation by Rob. We found a way to accommodate that, but the town is amenable to moving that right away by 6 feet to accommodate this, because that would have had to happen.
We
would
have a little more than 6 feet.
Okay.
We have just a schematic. It's not an engineered drawing, but we've got a schematic that we can pass around.
I apologize, John. I'm not trying to eat into your time.
This is not drawn to scale. It's simply a schematic based on field measurement. And I think it'd be possible to preserve 2 12-foot lanes in Rosemary Street, have a sidewalk that was 8.5 feet wide, and still gain room for your development.
Great.
The simple stairs stick out of that 7 feet away from the structure line mm-hmm. of the rest of the parking deck.
Right.
And so it's just one location.
That's right. And so in the area on either side of the simple stair, you actually could pick up more square footage. And so altogether, you could get as much as 19 linear feet.
So this is a 7 foot.
Yeah, that's correct.
Susan, what we thought, it wasn't so much the concept of live work or anything like that. What we liked the idea of is something that comes onto Rosemary Street and changes it completely from a parking deck facade to residential facade.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, you know, something real as opposed to the parking deck. And, you know, this gives you some room to do it. That's the only thing about the growth thing that appeals to us, really. I mean, I just don't want to limit you in some time.
No, and I don't think we're looking to. I think the reason that we say it's live work is because there's only X amount of uses that'll be feasible in that narrow place. So, I agree. We were looking to, we heard what you said, that you're basically looking to activate Rosemary Street.
Right.
And so we assume this makes it more attractive to y'all in terms of making your program work better.
One of the things it would mean if you do utilize that space is we would have to review to determine what modifications would have to be made to the deck ventilation system.
Okay.
And it could force us to put in a sprinkler system.
Okay.
We've got a dry sandpipe system right now, and so we'd have to figure that out as well. And we're going to ask our fire protection and building inspection people to start working to figure that out.
Okay.
And we're anticipating that there's going to be some changes that have to be made to the wall that need lateral bracing regardless of whether there's mm-hmm.
anything at street level on Rosemary, it needs lateral bracing in order to put residential, anything on top of it. So this configuration actually helps with the lateral bracing, it just means that part of the garage is now enclosed, which leads to sprinkler and ventilation issues. And that's what all this comes from.
Do y'all have an expectation of when the folks who are examining the ventilation sprinklers will have an answer?
No, we just identified that as a problem yesterday, and I don't have an answer yet. We think it can be done within a week at the most, but I've learned not to make.
Well, I think you're gonna like what we have for the wall check. It's, we like it a whole bunch. I think it solves a lot of concerns.
Good.
It's just a little flexibility on the sound part.
Are you still pursuing your interest in break through to Franklin at some location, or is that less important than this?
I think we think it's important, and we're still working on it, but we're not letting it stop the process.
Right.
And we have plenty of time, even if it's in the future.
Right.
We still, we continue to pursue that. Susan has been working on whether or not it makes sense to do something with the post office, not with the historic district. But that seems to go well. I mean, there's interesting ideas you could do with the post office and retain the uses that are still public uses. We've actually, you went to Gracie when you were in Charlotte, they have like a storefront, like a public library, but very small. I mean, there's lots of interesting things you could do to help activate that space and bring it through.
One tiny piece of information, I don't know if you have any value to you or not. In conversation yesterday with the present tenant of a building owned by Nina Wallace, the widow of a former mayor, I learned that she's going to be ending her lease and that Ms. Wallace might entertain the notion of selling her property.
Susan has heard that already. We've been working on that. Contacting people.
Very good.
And then Jim Wallace is in the Wallace set.
Right.
Jimmy.
Oh, sorry.
Jim is the son.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy is the father.
Okay.
Was father.
Now, is that something you would be amenable to having knocked down? Because there are going to be some restrictions.
The notion that this person put forward was it'd be a great, gentle grade connector between the Rand development and Franklin Street that could be done in a nice fashion so that it would be appealing to people. I have a horror, and I've told it to the councilman because I may as well tell it to you too. I have a horror that we will tinker with the mythology of Franklin Street somehow. That in a way that it caused an eruption of everything. So I don't know if you can do that in a way that would not cause that eruption or not. I bow to the council members.
I think Cal has post-traumatic stress syndrome.
I think if you throw it early, the building's on either side would collapse.
I don't think you want to predict the wrath. Yeah, I think that if you made a sensible connection, there'd be a lot of support.
Okay.
I think that's right. I felt compelled to say my horror story.
It's okay.
So yes, we are prepared for the 18th at 5:30. We will have. Now that
we'll be prepared 8:30 in the morning first to talk to you guys.
And is that day ahead for the hell?
Is that
televised?
Everything the council does is televised.
And should that be a PowerPoint presentation again? Is really what I'm asking.
Any graphics should be electronically displayed rather than on boards. Boards just simply don't work well serving those purposes. So everything should be electronic.
So this is TV.
Right.
Okay.
And we need to get it in the middle of the day so that we can test to make sure it's going to work right.
After Cal and Phil and Sally's left, we'll give it to you.
Cam,
I'm sorry. Cam. Sorry. Okay.
Christian, number three is yours. Is there any way that we can get anything in advance of the 18th? Is there?
We might be able to. We'll do our best.
What would be?
We could probably get you the.
What would be helpful for this?
We could probably get you the Waller check stuff definitely beforehand, and we just don't know yet on the modifier stuff.
Actually, I'll wait tomorrow on it, so we can talk to you in the morning. Okay.
We talked about 4, talked about 5, bullet number 1, number 2. You want to talk about the post office some more, or do we think it is?
You guys own the post office?
Yes.
So there had to be some little minor variance you could help with that.
What does that mean?
part of our new concept shows a fabulous way to activate the Kevin Henderson. Part of that includes the basement of the post office that would be fabulous retail space in the basement of it that belongs with Henderson to the tune of about 1,500 square feet. We're not talking about a big space. That would help as you came down Franklin to activate you to want to turn down Franklin and I'm under or down Henderson. And I'm understanding that the basement is just storage right now in that corner.
They have a teen center operation there as well.
Right.
And the teen center operation is not especially compatible with anything else on the planet Earth. That would be a concern. It would be a concern for the tenants there, and therefore, if you wanted to move the teen center, we would have a concern about where to put them.
I don't think it moves them, actually. I think there's a storage, there's a old...
We've got an archives area there, and then there are restrooms that lunch serve postal service. There's a loading dock and some old offices.
That's just that little portion back there is really, and it would open onto Henderson. Mm-hmm. So from the outside, you really wouldn't know it was part of the closure per se.
If it opens onto Henderson, I don't think that's feasible. It's just a matter of design.
Okay.
We have some obligation to the post office to let them have some loading access.
We have an agreement with the post office, which we're going to have to amend anyway the moment we do anything. To change the parking behind that building or the access behind that building.
Okay.
But they're on 6 months termination notice and they understand that and so we can make modifications and they may decide to get out at some point and that could be a different kind of problem. If we can accommodate the operations of the post office, we'll be better off.
Well, we're not suggesting anything that would interrupt whatever is there right now. We're just looking for that little corner to be activated onto Henderson Street.
Right.
Sounds good.
Perfect
sense of program.
Okay.
Bullet number 3 under number 5. Building parking at Lot 5 underneath Church Street between Rosemary and Franklin. The town is formally requesting information from the utility companies to get it to you as soon as possible.
Well, I have it.
You've done it already.
I've done it already. Please proceed with that to see if we're getting some different facts. And we're not ready to commit to this yet until I have structural engineers and the contractor look at this. So we think it's feasible, but I need a dollar number to know that it's feasible. I know it's feasible, but what dollar number is for feasible? So we're not ready today, probably not even on the 18th, to commit to that, yes, we're going to run to Church Street. Okay. And this is not a small number to get your hands on. So the fallback plan is that we'll continue to use the plan that we showed you in the beginning.
Do you need additional information? Are you just asking us to go through that as well? I mean,
I have everything I need.
Okay.
I have the elevation.
So
I know where the sewer is.
Can we stop? Yeah.
I know where the sewer, water, and electric. Sewer, electric, and water in it. And gas. And I'm comfortable with their locations. The only thing I'm not sure of is who connects to the sewer, but I'm expected to have that answer tomorrow. So if I need your help, I will call you or call you back. But I think I have the information I need.
Good. Yeah, great. Number 6. connection as well.
So do we anticipate using it as well, no connection? It's almost impossible to get it from all the way down to Rosemary and still connect to that. We haven't figured out how to do both, so which one do you prefer the most?
How to do what?
Connect to the Bank of America building and provide for residential units to come down to the street on Rosemary.
So someone says you're really looking at your connections to occur on Rosemary Street rather than
right.
on that.
And I think that's more viable anyway.
Well, the notion of connection was generated when the idea was developing on top of the deck without the spiller down the street level. So I think the concept is different.
Now, is lot two a play here? Does that make a difference?
It can, because of the parking, the extra parking space.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to put something smaller in the 5 pound
bag. Yeah.
I think the key thing would be to take into account whether or not there would still be the feasibility of a connection to the Wallace deck as you proceed, and just keep it in the back of your mind. It's not essential, but if it can be done and if there's value in it, it might be worthwhile.
Right.
And we know there'd be value in having the connection to lot two. I don't think there's any question about that. And that one's pretty easy to do.
Right.
So just keep it in mind. That's not a deal breaker to the council. Anyway.
So that connection is actually at Rosemary.
Sure.
There's much traffic on that Rosemary sidewalk through
right.
the design of lot two, through helping the Bank of America find better tenants for
mm-hmm.
that side of Rosemary,
right.
and cleaning it and lighting it and
mm-hmm.
maintaining it. That's the best connection you can have,
right.
the pedestrian friendly sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we can keep in mind of and when you see the design, you'll if you have any suggestions. So.
Yeah.
Number seven is bigger than what it appears. Spree and Rand have got to work together during the month of August to examine the performers and the money that's being paid to the town versus what's required investment-wise. So, I guess what I'm asking you to do on seven is just let's just keep communicating and you prepare your numbers as quickly as you can after the 18th. You asked for information on Wallace Tech payout, and I've got that for you. And I'm also asking for the COPS documentation. But here's what I think you need.
The more important point on this, this time stated, is that part of what we have to do is replace the revenue stream. And that was where John came up with 150 before. We made an early estimate of how much revenue we would lose from interruptions of operations for a specific period of time. I don't remember.
So the 150 was reflective of a certain amount of interruption.
Yes.
That you have to replace.
That's right.
That's where the $50,000 a year for 3 years came from?
No, it was more like $125 a year than $25 for a portion or something like that. I don't remember. We're going to recover that information as well.
See under lot 5 net revenues on the right?
154,400, close to this budget. Which one are we looking at, John?
This one.
Right here. Okay.
Yep.
Not revenues. Yeah.
118.
Almost 63?
Yeah.
Okay.
The debt service schedule is not as important at all as it is to us. We got to pay it, and you don't. What's important to both of us is figuring out how to cover the revenue loss that we will experience while we're not getting any income from lot 5. That's the nub of the.
And that was what that 150 was.
That's right. And that was for a specific period of time.
And
we're going to go back and recover that information so we can explain it better.
And that revenue services some kind of municipal bond, I'm assuming.
It's actually a rock certification.
And in that regard, one of the things that we have initiated is making the conversation happen that we have to have with the holder of the certificate to make sure they understand what we're doing, protect their interests and that sort of thing. We'll take care of that.
Okay. So I'm guessing that, I mean, one of the things we need to discuss with the bond, which will come up when we discuss the memorandum of understanding, is, you know, how that works with lenders and guarantees and all of that stuff for new money. So we need to talk about that too.
I mean, I intend you're going to talk about it, and you're going to provide that. Number 11, we made some assumptions in our finance model, the public finance plan, and now, as far as we're concerned, the ball's in your court to figure out that how to finance this affordable housing. We're willing to, obviously willing to help you if the city, if the town allows us, you saw the mix, it's a four tranche of equity, grants, two loans from the Federal Housing Loan Board, and one at 4.25 and one at 4.5, so.
So we can explore that. We're not really sure that there's going to be any benefit with the finance plans because we are mixing the affordable in with the market rate stuff. So that would probably be an issue. But what we do need your help on is identifying that $1.1 million that was in the RFP or the RFP.
You have a $1.1 million number for grants.
We have 800,000 in our model.
Oh, okay.
You have 800,000 lot 5, and you've got 300,000
right.
Lost.
Sorry,
there's 1.1.
That's correct. So if you can just help us with that, and you do.
What the source was?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. No problem.
Okay.
John, I haven't been able to look at anything for for sale products. For rental products, there's government assistance, but I can't find anything for sale. Grant money.
I'm having somebody run a database for new markets to see if potentially Lot 5 falls into that because of the economic makeup of maybe the North Side neighborhood and being available for that fund.
Chris knows more about affordable housing than anybody in the room. He knows more about grant sources and loan sources and such. I'd urge you to call on Chris and take advantage of what she knows.
Chris, you're going to
get any information about the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency.
Are you
going to
get it from him?
Sure.
Did you have the memo that I
have
straight
from? From that, yes, you looked up yesterday.
I didn't know. I was just expecting that to go to Ray and only, so.
I also, if you wanted them, I copied those two pages by your
I need the RAM.
This is the RAM.
Right. Here on the thing. It's a thing.
Right. I'm going to give you the pages that
you have. Sure. I only need a couple of copies.
Okay.
I need one for my RAM. You're going to need one for monster.
For the full thing.
Yeah. Pass that to Mark, if you need more.
And is this Lot 5 and Lot 5, or just Lot 5?
Yeah, this case is Lot 5, and the second case is Lot 6. You could
line 3 has the $800,000 in the first phase, and similar has land, building, and grants, federal home loan, same story.
That was for
California, right? That's right. You know, the interesting thing is sometimes they ask people
like
after their names and they don't know.
I'm scared.
Only the town's responsibility. Number 12. Now the time to talk about that plan, or you want to talk about this later? Already talked about 13?
Well, yeah, we are going to have to go through a pre-closing procedure to start with the right-of-way if we do go to the narrow right-of-way convert some of that independent property. That will be part of the process. You know that from recent experience it can result in some opposition.
Right. And when would that take place? Well, considering the time frame of this project.
It would be parallel to the special use permit process. It would be a separate process, but it would be parallel to it.
The statute was not a pursuit closing.
Right. He would not conclude unless the council permitted the project to move ahead.
That makes sense. Put the separate motion after the SEP is granted.
No.
As the timing, I'm not sure which would come first, but it would go along with it.
I guess the concern, we have a few concerns raised by our engineering department. I could just have one key. One was that there's a lot of loading that goes on in that area right now, and how to accommodate that in the future might be an issue. And also taking into account all the different access points
to the movement.
Those are the two key issues that came out of that.
So the loading you're talking about is the trucks that can park in the turn lane.
The beer trucks.
Where are they unloading to?
Bank of America. There's a bar down in that.
Right,
three bars
in
that.
And is that how they come through the alley to get to Franklin Street?
No, the park, the loading zone for Franklin Street is created by the consent of the police department, and it's used early in the morning. And they just park in a travel lane
on Franklin
early in the morning and do their unloading there. The Rosemary Street serves the bars and other businesses on Rosemary Street. The bank can actually get a vehicle into their driveway and up to their back door, so that they don't have a problem there.
Just thinking in the future, if Graham spends a lot of money developing a design for Wallace Deck, with assuming they can capture that extra width of the street, and it gets voted down.
It would be the council that would be doing the voting, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm more concerned with it just being another opportunity for someone who opposed it to litigate it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lawsuit now over a street closing. This is not something that's just a part of this plan.
Okay.
Same time.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, no more reason than the absence for it.
How long does it take to make a career out of that?
Litigating the county?
Yeah. It tends to be the same person.
Over
there's a lot of, you know, sort of baggage that goes along with it, though, like lots of cats and opening your doors and letting your house get overgrown.
So,
all in your mind is take the gamma rays.
I'm going to suggest that we postpone 14 and 15 until we get to the MOU, because it's really a rehash of what we came across as we came up with this today. Is that okay for everybody? And 816 we've already talked about, and that's on hold, or?
Not for the Walsh Deck. Okay, if you've already applied for it for the Walsh Deck, I have not done that. I have done that for Church Street. If you have not done it for the Walsh Deck, I can go ahead and do that.
I haven't done it.
Okay, then I'll do that.
Okay. Number 17.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah,
Cliff and Bronson.
And Dave Johnson, our finance director, says communications with that.
So the ball's in the town court here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, not so that we need to waste a lot of time on this, but I don't know if this
could be fair. The certificate holder, the firm that has the debt, will have to approve development that may impinge on their ability to exercise their rights.
That's the same condition being the neighbor holds the.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. The neighbor holds the note.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
The law released from the land, the air rights, and the rosemary.
Got it. I just thought we did. I thought there should be pushing under the neighbor, not just no point.
And also get their consent all the easements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the development.
Right.
Okay.
I've forgotten why 18 is in here. Is there a critical date involved, or?
That's what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
It's really the same thing.
Okay.
I think possibly there meant also that our engineering department was interested in some kind of feasibility analysis on your part that maybe to get your engineer to do about this. Those two issues, access and loading in particular, and whether the traffic numbers would work.
But clearly it will have to be done as part of a special use permit process.
Right.
And it also needs to be done for the street closure process. So at some point, we'll have to have a formal study of the issues.
Well, I don't know who it is, but Josh has asked who you would like us to use the traffic. We have that list and that's
mine. Well, there's peculiarity there. You'll need to do your own traffic analysis to satisfy yourselves.
Right.
In the special use permit process, we will select a traffic engineer from those who are already pre-qualified
right.
to do work for the town. And, you'll pay us for that study and we'll give it to you.
Is there a time limit on this study? Why retain for two? Why don't I just have you order it? We'll use the results of it.
You should do that.
Unless you're telling me they're only good for 6 months and we won't get you a special use permit for 9 months.
Basically, the question was just whether or not we would have satisfied ourselves enough to get to process.
That's right. In your own interest, you need to spend some of your own money to figure out whether or not
you're not surprised when your report goes out and say, oh, it really doesn't work.
Right, precisely. You need to satisfy yourself.
Right.
And you don't have to have a full-blown study necessarily.
Right.
But you got to have
you gotta get comfortable.
Right.
Okay.
Precisely.
We now have more detailed information on this, right?
Now that the wording of this is not quite right. Here's what we would envision on this project. I mean, you've already had some discussion with the Public Art Commission folks, I expect.
Mm-hmm.
What we would envision is that they would begin now the artist selection process so that by the time the development agreement was authorized and executed, they would be ready to move ahead. And it wouldn't have to then begin a process to select an artist to work with. They would invite you to have a representative or representatives in that group. They will know that they might be negotiating about anything that impinges on the development agreement. That all we're going to be doing in this first phase is selecting an artist. The budget for the art is going to be incorporated into your construction budget and your budget for the project, the total. What do you call it, John? The total something or other.
Total
development. And I think you guys get it already. So if I'm saying stuff you're already completely familiar with, please forgive me. The notion that Public Art Commission and that the council is pursuing is that the art should be integrated fully within the project. That it's not something applied to the project. It's not something that sits on the project is something that's fully integrated. And that may mean that the fenestration is a part of the art. It may mean that the design of a plaza surface is a part of the art. And you guys get this. I've heard you talk that, and I know you get it. And so it's not really a fund managed by the town. It's the money that you earmark for the public art, and it's fully integrated into the rest of your budget. Does that make sense?
We're literally, we'll be paying the artists, we'll be, as opposed to, I know we've brought it up previously to say, we get the town and then the town figures it out, but no, absolutely, we're going to integrate it into the project. It means that we're spearheading it, paying for it, and I guess some kind of documentation happens with the town.
Right.
What you would do with other developers that you're not in partnership with, if you require those types of things.
We're not able to require other developers to do it.
We do it for our capital improvement project.
Yeah.
And then we take the money and we manage it, but since...
You can talk to the city of Palm Beach Gardens. To require everybody to do public art, which is a nice thing. Hi.
Okay. You have, I've met with Janet with Kate.
Kate Flory, that's the key person.
I've met with Kate, had lunch with her, and we are going to be part of the draft for call for artists. We do, you know, we wanted to do it in July, but they were on vacation. So I am having breakfast with them tomorrow morning. We do have two seats on the selection committee, so we will be part of that. Peter Cummings will be one of our representatives due to his public art and art experience and his art experience. One of the things I'm not clear of is parts of this that has to be paid up front, and
The whole deal on this is you don't pay anything to anybody until we've got a development agreement.
Exactly. That's
and what the Public Art Commission was doing when we curtailed them was going off in a different direction.
Okay.
And so we've made plain to Kate, who's their executive director, that there is no deal until the council has satisfied itself and you satisfied yourselves. And there's an executed agreement. Therefore, no money is going to be encumbered. If they want to use some of the money they already have, that's just fine. But no other money.
That's very things that we're paying
because
for.
We shouldn't pay for anything.
That was one of the concerns that came out of when I asked you, you know, it's okay that we talk with them. And yes, you know, we're happy to talk with them, but who's paying for all this? Because we're not partners yet.
Yeah, they got to pay for any risk that they take at this point, period.
All right. That's because I feel, not that we have full faith we're going to get where we need to go, but when she started throwing out numbers of $30,000, $40,000,
$50,000,
I was, whoa.
They were off base, and I think
we've got them. They were just overly enthusiastic, I guess.
Yeah. They didn't intend to create harm. They thought they were doing the right
thing. And they're very effective.
There was no harm, and yet they showed that they're very good fundraisers.
Okay.
Number four, the town to determine agency to monitor and manage affordable housing components. I don't remember talking about this yesterday.
Well, I have a question on that, which I know we'll discuss more in the MOU. I know that there's more than one question in the state, and the conversations we had to date was whether or not the affordable the artist community trust could absorb the amount of affordable units we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly don't want to get into a position where we have more than one trust that we're dealing with in the same project, because that would be terrible for anybody to manage. I'm assuming that if artist community trust determines that they can't absorb it all, but there's other vehicles to do this with, we're exploring that. Correct. I mean, is there?
I would modify that, and I would suggest that if Robert Allen, the director of the Orange Community Housing Land Trust, says to the council, to the council,
right,
we need additional funding in order to process this many units, I think the council will come up with the funding.
We anticipated
that they are going to need some additional support, depending on how many units are offloaded on, because they have other things in the works.
If
you're the tipping point, then I think we have an obligation, and I would recommend to the council that we come up with the additional operating money they need so that they can manage the additional work.
Okay.
And we would not want to have two different agencies involved. We created the Orange Community Housing Land Trust to serve this kind of purpose.
Okay.
So we want it all good in this.
Okay. We're fine with that. Okay.
Great. He's been very helpful. So we're happy that it's just he can't absorb it all. Okay.
Yeah, my deal with Robert is the moment he says, I can't handle this, then we figure out what he's got to have in order to handle it.
Okay. All right, great.
We'll work that out. That's not a problem.
Okay.
The council has been very good at recognizing their need for additional funding over the years.
Okay, but that's
right.
It's a very high council goal. We support them with some general fund money every year, and it's an area that we want to see grow.
Right. We would love to have to give them more money because they have more work.
Right.
Okay.
And we also are very confident that Robert's not wasting money over there.
I'm sure he's not. Okay. And then, so your comment about the town becoming an agency to monitor or manage the affordable housing component.
It's Lawrence Community Housing Land Trust. I'm not sure why John said it quite that way. But
okay.
He was just pointing out we needed to make sure we had agreed on
when you say monitor or manage, you're going to market and sell.
Right.
Not because there is no, then it'll be managed, after it's sold, it'll be managed by the condominium association.
Right.
What they do, I don't know what they promulgated to you, at a closing, you would actually transfer title to the
right.
to them,
right.
They would impose this lease on it,
right.
and then sell to that person.
Right.
So for 99 years of affordable housing rather than
okay.
20 years, which is more than norm.
And they would monitor because they would make sure the person was still in residency there, they're not in
the
resales are the ongoing issue. The land trust key component for the council is to ensure the long term affordability.
Right. And we do have in our budget, from talking to Robert, $3,500 for the workforce housing unit. He said he needs for marketing.
Yeah.
So we do have that number in our budget, in our marketing budget.
We'll remind him of that when he asks for more money.
I don't want to push or anything on
this. He is teasing you.
But when he said he can't absorb it all, it's not just from the staff department, it's from the funding amount requirement.
He's going to have to add a staff member at some point in order to handle this additional volume. And he's going to have to have all the costs that are
associated with money to make sure that this is
fine.
And we will anticipate. It won't be, we got all this demand piled on top of us, and then we start responding.
Okay.
We'll anticipate the demand is coming, therefore we need to respond in a minute.
Great.
And as a footnote to Glenn, I spoke to their council, outside council, Bush Brooks.
Yes.
And he said that he will help guide us and review the document to ensure that they can put their structure in place.
Right.
To continue to monitor.
And I have a line for what the structure was. And did they give you a copy of the lease?
No.
I'll get you a copy of that.
Okay.
It needs tweaking, but it doesn't need months of course.
Right. But Butch felt like we could, with this question, we could work.
And Butch has done a real good job of helping them. Mm-hmm. Real good job.
Number 41, and the town won't do this until after the development agreement is signed, but we can still be responsible for developing an interim parking plan and minimize loss of parking. 174 spaces on my side.
As you are going about your work, if ideas occur to you that would be useful, please forward them to us because this is not going to be an easy one to do.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Wasn't there also a staging area for construction that was still their version of this issue or not?
Yeah, we have those issues that we need to work on as well.
In that regard, this is my colleague's footnote. We will want you to have the construction workers park off site somewhere in the bus stand. Or shuttle them.
Ecological points to take a break.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
10 minutes.
What is the construction starting time? Does anybody know? Do you have some shuttle up?
Seven.
Seven. Seven. 7:30.
Yeah, that's when most people are having.
Oh,